We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
All right. So, I want to start off with saying God is so good. I love being part of such an amazing church. First off, I am honored to be up here. I started coming to Metro Church 8 years ago. It all started back at Summerfest. With the persistence of my mother, Pastor Julie, and other leaders continuing to tell me to go, I finally decided to take that leap and reluctantly said yes, which of course was the best decision. What a journey it has been after accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I share that with you because even through my hardest times in college, God never gave up on me. He always was there to pick me up. Even when I was making mistakes, God's love was and is always abundant. Going through high school and college was no easy task. Not having a boyfriend or going out and doing all the things of the world. I instead knew God had someone for me. I look back and I am so beyond thankful that I waited. And waiting is not easy, but so worth it. Realizing also God was protecting me. Now, moving forward, I never truly realized what God's timing was until I met the love of my life. I had been tithing and serving consistently, making sure God got the first no matter what, as I believe in the power of sowing and reaping in my own life. In addition, I am currently going through grad school, which is no easy task. And of course, I have to pay my undergraduate loans as well. So, I am ever reminded of how faithful God truly is. He is always providing for me, even when I felt like He was not. No matter what, God has always come through. Protecting me from jobs that were not for me. Giving me comfort in the hard times of losing family members. There is no question when we put God first, He will provide. When I decided I was done dating and I gave it all to God, I had prayed what I wanted in a man. And I knew God had someone special for me. But there were moments that I doubted, because to me, it felt like it was taking way too long. It is all about God's timing. I started to read God's word more and dive in, praying more and being faithful, doing things when I did not feel like it. God has rewarded my faithfulness. He has brought the man of my dreams into my life. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him." And in Psalms 37:4, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires." And in Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need." I cannot believe my now fiancé is here in my life. We have put God first in our relationship. And no matter what, give it all to God. We have decided to honor God in everything that we do. I share this story to tell you that God is the same God and does work miracles. We need to trust in God's timing and never give up. It is when we surrender it all to God that it all works out on His timing. Now, moving forward, I would not be here today standing up here if it weren't for God using my senior pastors, Chad and Julie, who never gave up on me, even in my toughest points in my life when I was not behaving. They were and are always listening to God. Pastor Julie would be on the phone or texting me in college at all hours of the night, always willing to listen and help. She kept me accountable for my actions, always pushing me to do better and keep on seeking God. Pastor Chad and Julie are the most kind-hearted people that care so deeply about everyone. I am so thankful for what God has blessed me with in my life. And so now, Melissa and Chris, come on up.
When we first started talking about what we were going to talk about, where is it? Anyway, he jumped into full-on military briefing mode. He was going to brief you on some things we're thankful for. And with the PowerPoint and graphs and data to back up our thankfulness. So I kind of talked him down a few notches, so you guys can thank me for that later. Nobody wants that. Really. Well, not in this setting, you know?
It might have been good.
Try it next time.
Amen. No, seriously, there's so many things that we could be thankful for. Obviously, I'm thankful for my wife and for our kids, our boys, and just such a blessing our family is. And being a military family, you know, we move around the country, so they, Melissa and the boys, they've been the stability as far as people goes along the way. But if you know, if I look back over the last 20 years together, we said, you know, faithfulness of God is what stands out. That's what we're thankful for. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, obviously being a military family and moving across the country, you know, God has always, He's always provided for us. And He used the military to place us where He wanted us for certain seasons of our lives. And some of those seasons were to grow us, to stretch us, to give us more discipline in our walk with the Lord. And other seasons were to train us to become better leaders and to help others grow. As we were planted and serving, the Lord always gave us a church family, though, no matter where we were at, so that we could be, even though we're far away from home, from our own families, that we would have a family where we were at. So we're so thankful to the Lord for that. And Metro Church is no exception to that. We're so thankful for you guys. Seeing different churches in different states along the way of this journey, I think has given us a unique and amazing perspective on the body of Christ. And I can tell you for a fact that the Lord is growing His church everywhere. We moved 5 times across the country over the last 20 years, and each time we knew God had a specific place for us to be, planting and serving in His church. And, you know, 4 out of 5 of those times, it took us quite a while to find that place to call home, church home. You know, it took, one time it took 30 churches to find where the Lord wanted us to be. So that can be exhausting. It can be kind of demoralizing when you get to 29. but the Lord was faithful. He really was. Then the Air Force moved us from Virginia to here in Massachusetts. We, actually, Melissa, didn't necessarily want to move to Massachusetts. We were coming towards the end of our time in the military. We kind of felt that and wanted to start moving back west, closer to where our family was. I'm from Washington. Melissa's from Montana. So, but I truly believe the Lord was guiding our steps, and he led us here to Massachusetts. So we're here, and we visited, let me say this, we visited one church, just one, and it was through those doors. So we knew this is where the Lord wanted us to be, and we have so many testimonies of how the family here at Metro Church took us in and made us family right away. So we love you guys. We're so thankful for each of you and what you've done to bring us into this this family, our church home here. Thank you guys. And so now the Air Force had moved us every 4 years, and the way that the military usually works is they do move you around. And so we got accustomed to moving every 4 years. And so when you get close to being near that four-year time frame, you get used to it and you anticipate it. And putting down roots is a foreign thought. It's like, we were thinking that this season would once again be a four-year time here, and that we would do one more assignment, sign up for one more assignment to get closer to our family. So I'm going to hand this over to Melissa to kind of finish the story here.
So it was one Sunday after church. We were driving down the driveway, and I remember it clearly because it was one of those statements of faith where you just kind of blurt it out really fast before you have time to think about it or to take some of it back or process it. I said, I just want us to get out of the Air Force and stay here and help them with this church. And it was quiet in the car because we hadn't really started talking about taking that big step. You know, it doesn't seem like a big statement to most of you, but it was big when it was an unknown, you know, thing to stay. Anyway, here we are like 3 years later, and after some praying and God orchestrating events, Chris retired this year. And although we know that our time in the Air Force is done, we also feel just as strongly that we are not done with our assignment here. We have viewed each new military assignment as God assigning us for a specific place in a specific time where we needed to be. There's nothing better than knowing that you are right in the middle of God's will for your life. We have served under amazing and anointed men and women of God in churches across the country, all different kinds of churches. Some were smaller, some were larger. Each one very unique in their calling to their region and their place. We've seen many amazing things in ministry, the hand of God moving in his people and different churches at different phases of their growth, if you would. And then we've seen some more challenging things in ministry because Christians tend to be human, usually. No, they are. They are human. Of all the amazing pastors that we've served under, our pastors here are some of the most anointed. Their hearts are genuine. Pastor Don and Nita, and now Pastor Chad and Julie, the training and experience and the passion that you pour from your lives into this ministry is obvious. The leadership that you model is both challenging and encouraging. There isn't one big defining moment where my life was drastically changed while being here at Metro Church, but there are thousands. God continually chipping away and molding me. Every single week, I am challenged to step out with more boldness and maybe speak a word of hope to a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus yet, or to dig deeper into my Bible, or just to love people more. I'm still working on that a lot. No, I love you. When I see our pastors giving all that they have and laying everything down, I want to make excuses less, and I want to serve more excellently. they make it easy to take the vision that God's given them for Metro Church and make it my own and serve God's people alongside of them. Of all the things we've seen, we know one thing for sure. God is faithful. We are beyond thankful that he brought us here. We love you all, and I love you all, and I love doing life in ministry with you.
Amen. So Pastors Don, Anita, and Pastors Chad and Julie, we do. We love you so much. We're thankful for you, and we're just excited to see what God is doing in this house. And in this house together, we're just going to keep pressing forward. Amen? Amen.
Thank you. Hey, what wonderful testimonies, huh? Awesome. Let's stand together. Wait, you got quiet all of a sudden. Sorry, that's enough. We had a great first service, a great crowd, and then this great crowd. And this week is a week of Thanksgiving. This morning is a morning of Thanksgiving. And I want us to just pray and not ask God for anything. But let's just pray and thank him. Just pour out our thankfulness to him. Thank him for our families. Thank him for everything in our family. Thank him for our senior pastors. Thank him for every person in this church that helps make this church happen. And just put a great loving on God right now. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we stand in your house by your amazing grace. Lord, we're here because you've called us here. None of us is smart enough. We didn't come here because we had nothing to do. But you've called our names. And Lord, maybe some are here today for their very first time. And Father, we just thank you that we're all in your presence. Father, we thank you, dear God, for your hand, your anointing, your spirit that has brought this church to this day and is taking us forward, building momentum, gaining strength. And Lord, we honor you for all of this. And we thank you for the opportunity to be used by you. We thank you for the opportunity to have a part in all that you're doing. And Lord, we know that it's by your spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power or anything that man creates. But it's by the Holy Spirit that things are and that they move forward. And Lord, we give you all of the honor and all of the glory. And we thank you, God, that you've given us your word. Lord, so that we know where to walk. We know how to walk. We know what to do. And Lord, we thank you that your spirit guides us. And Father, we pray your very best for every person here, every home represented. And Lord, that we would continue to move forward in your will together. And Father, that every person would become a member of the body of Christ, a member of the local church, and build momentum for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a knuckle pump. Knuckle pump. Fist pump. See, I just created something. You didn't. You'll catch up. Isn't it great to have fun in church? Just to be family and to relate. And you know, we can do some things to look holy, but we know better. And so we pray, we worship God, and we're family. And today, they've asked me to say some words about honoring our senior pastors. And I was kind of shocked I was asked, but glad to do this. That's the truth. But Pastor Appreciation Sunday is a special day each year when we stop and we honor Christ's gift to us. Some people may not think of that, but the Bible says that pastors are a gift. And we need to understand that and understand how to love them, relate to them, and to help move things forward. And so, you know, they're a gift to us, not just because they're so good looking. And not because, you know, Pastor Appreciation is an annual event that's expected to happen. But because of their work toward us, because they lead the charge and they are the ones that are making sure that the church moves together and that every person has an opportunity, and they do that throughout the year. So for the guest's sake, I'm going to ask our senior pastors, Chad and Julie, to stand and so that you can know who we're talking about. And by the way, this past week, CBN interviewed Chad. Don't know when that's going to air, but you've probably seen pictures on Facebook, so we're staying tuned for that. It's very exciting that over the life of this church, God has opened doors like that. I personally was so excited when I found out that this was going to happen. It's a big statement in that. And so, you know, there are tens of thousands of churches that would love to be in that situation. And over the past years, God has done similar things. And we need to understand that's God. And it's not something that we work out or whatever. And they call us. I said, they call us. There are tens of thousands of churches they can call. And so that's just the hand of God, the work of God. And when it's handled with humility, God always uses it in many ways. But senior pastors are Christ's gift to us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Scripture says, now these are the gifts. Everybody say gifts. What's a gift? It's something that's given to us. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And verse 12 says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so let me remind us that many churches don't have a person gifted and called as a senior pastor. That may surprise you, but it's the truth. And those churches have hired persons. Some are very professional. Some are well-educated, have a lot of potential and value, and they aspire to lead, but they're not gifted and they're not called. And I could name some of them for you. We used to have one here in town, and Pleasant Fellow had Ivy League education, had a doctor, everything else, and fizzled out shortly. And so it's about the calling, and it's about being gifted for this, and God does that. You know, mom and daddy can't call a kid to preach. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. I always told my kids, I just want you to do something well and do it successfully and do it honestly. But Jesus described those who are not called and are not gifted for that, but try to do that. He calls them hired hands. And further, it goes on to say that when the pressure comes, they'll run. And I've watched enough of that. You know, fortunately, our church has been associated with organizations and teams and different things. And I've had an opportunity to observe a lot of churches and a lot of pastors. And I can't explain how precious and valuable it is to have a called and anointed senior pastor. And so senior pastor's role is relational. We need to understand, and I understand we come from a lot of different backgrounds, and I understand a lot of those backgrounds, but what every one of us needs to understand is that the senior pastor's role is relational, not just organizational. They're not just putting together units to do this and units and looking at people as parts to a machine. They are relational. They are for your soul. They are for your good. And they love you enough that they'll take the risk of losing you by telling you the truth when you need to hear it. Whether it's easy or not, in love, tell you the truth so that you can move forward. And so, you know, our senior pastor should be our anchor and our BFF spiritually. And, you know, friends can come and go, and they will, and tough times will affect them. But your senior pastor is going to be with you until Jesus takes you or takes them. And, you know, it's interesting. Over the decades, being in conversations outside of our church, just being in general conversations with people, and persons start wanting to make sure that because they know they're talking to a pastor, they want to assert themselves as members of a church. And so they'll make a mention about, well, I'm a member of such and such a church, and they name a church. What's interesting, many years ago, I realized a lot of these people are not part of a church. And so when they would say, I'm a member of such and such a church, I'd say, oh, that's great. What's your pastor's name? You'd be shocked the number of people that are flat-footed because they hadn't been in that church in a long, long time. They don't know who the pastor is in that church. But they were trying to affiliate, you know. And it's an interesting thing. People can relate to a building and relate to the name of a church, but are they relating to a pastor? And on the other hand, within our church, and a lot of you have done this, so I'm not talking about you. But it's kind of a natural thing. But oftentimes people will be talking about this church, and I know they're here every week. They've been here for months and months, and they refer to it as your church. Well, the thing that I'm looking for is when they refer to it as my church. When they take hold and they take grasp, and then they call it my church. And so, you know, a church member's relationship to their pastor is described in the Bible like a sheep's relationship to their shepherd. You know, the relationship between pastors and people is confirmed when a member officially, or when a person officially becomes a member of the church. Because without membership, there's not a statement, there's not a confirmation, there's not that handshake. We are together. And when we officially join the church and claim the senior pastor as my pastor. And that's a big thing. People need to have a pastor. It's a sad thing when you see people go through life and they have a hospital situation that calls for serious prayer. They have incidents in their family. They have weddings to do, funerals to do, marriages to do. And they know nobody and are not connected to a pastor. But take a look at how David said it, talking about personalizing the relationship with our senior pastor. In Psalm 23, verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." And now he's talking about the Lord, but we need to understand that senior pastor is the extension of the Lord. The purpose of the senior pastor is to help people get to everything David's talking about here and to make their life blessed. Verse 2, he says, "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams." Now, all of these things, all of us need at times in our life. There are times when sometimes just in relating and counseling, a pastor needs to say, "You know what? You're pushing it too hard. You need to trust God a little bit here. Why don't you just take it a little bit easier?" And there are times when guidance and direction can come in these ways. And verse 3 says, "He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." And I'll tell you, you can pray and you can do everything you have. When you walk through the darkest valley, when you're facing a terminal disease, or you're going through terrible struggles in your family, there's nothing like having somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you've been worshiping God with, somebody that you trust, that you know is there for you in those situations. He says, "Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." You know, the rod and staff, we don't have time to go into all that, but they were used to keep the sheep safe and reach out with the hook and pull the sheep and do what they need to do to keep the sheep from going over the cliff. And that's the pastor's job. Verse 5, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." Now, just anointing my head with oil. There's a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And in that book, he explains there are at least five, might be, I don't know, as many as a dozen types of flies that annoy sheep. And flies can kill sheep. And a good shepherd takes an ointment, because they have found sheep laying beside a tree dead from whacking their head against the tree, because these flies go up their nostrils. They go in their ears. They drive the sheep crazy, and the sheep will commit suicide trying to get them out. And when you read that verse, what it's saying is that my shepherd loves me enough that he prepares this anointing oil, and he puts that over my head, and I walk through the valley, I walk through the hilltops, and the flies don't bother me. He's taken care of me, and I live in peace. And verse 6, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." That's the key. The whole point of senior pastoring is to see people grow, move forward, be healthy, and spend their lives serving the Lord and being in His house. Senior pastors are Christ's extension of Himself to His people to lead them into fulfillment and eternity. There is under shepherds to His people, and they work for our good and are worthy of our honor. Jesus said there are two ways that we can be cared for, either by a shepherd or by a hired hand. In John 10, verses 11 through 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd." See, that's the situation when there's not a calling, when there's not an anointing and a gifting. People are going to survive. They're going to stay. But where there's a pastor who's called and gifted, they stand with you through that situation. And you never know when you're going to need that. And goes on to say, the hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. That is true with senior pastors. As a senior pastor grows and understands the relationship and gets deeper understanding of that relationship, in your heart you know who you're pastoring. Doesn't matter where their names are or whether they're signed up or not signed up, you know who has connected, related, committed, become a member, and is walking together. And we need to all be in that position. It's God's will for us. You know, Christ calls senior pastors to his purpose. John 10:10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And when he talks about a rich and satisfying life, he's not talking about just cash. He's talking about a life that is enriched, a life that's full, a life that's satisfying. I've seen people that had very little monetarily, but they were so rich they would make you jealous. That calling to pastor Metro Church is upon Chad. And his wife Julie serves together as one with him in that calling. And being called to pastor means being called to front and center of spiritual conflict. Not just for you and your family, but for all the families, for the church, for everything that would try to thwart the church. We could go back and tell old war stories. People have made it their issue to make sure Metro Church didn't exist. People told me, "I'll run you out of town." All of these things. And things come against senior pastors. And the other thing is senior pastors don't talk to everybody about other things. It scares the life out of you. And so We just need to understand there's so much that's not seen. I could talk of 100 more things about senior pastors, but the point is we need to understand they're leading the battle. They're at the front of the line. They've got the target on the chest. Shoot me first. And so we have this person and persons that do this, and they're in this spiritual conflict. A senior pastor is also called to lead the elders in vision, strategy, conflict resolution, and finances. And I'll tell you, we have the most awesome elders in this church. Other churches covet our elders. Being called also means to be called to build a leadership team that builds the church. Oftentimes, this is the big missing thing. There are many churches that have pastors that want to lead and everything else, but they can't get people to team up and have an effect. I mean, right now, there are people teamed up on our nursery. They're teamed up on our preschool. They're teamed up on everybody else. Everybody in the church has the sense of we're going forward because we are. And the sense that we always go forward. We don't think about not going forward. That's not part of what we think about. And so we need to understand that we have to build teams that build the church. And then being called is called to unite and lead the congregation to reach others. We're not in here hanging out with each other alone. And, you know, those churches that do that, attrition wears them out and they put plywood on their windows. But thank God, we've got generations down the hallway. We got little bitty kids. I love watching little kids run in the church. You know, when I was a kid, you couldn't run in church. Why? I know why. Figured it out later. You wake up the adults. But that's naughty. But true. And being called is being called to nurture spiritual life in individuals, in families of the church. Child dedications, water baptisms, spiritual baptisms, weddings, funerals, whatever else happens. I'm into every kind of thing. And all of it's part of life. And it causes life to move forward. And senior pastors do these things. They're called to it. And they're called, senior pastors are called to build respect for Metro Church, regionally and beyond. And I can tell you, this church is highly respected. And it's known. And run into people. Sometimes people start staring and so on. And then they say, are you? And so on. But the church is known and is respected. And I'll tell you, it's highly respected among our network of churches across the nation and so on. And then being called to senior pastor is being called to continue personal development as a minister. A church grows as the pastor grows. A lot of problems in a lot of churches is they've got pastors that are at the same point they were at 5 years ago or 10 years ago. That can't happen. Everybody has to keep moving. But also, did you ever think that being called to be a senior pastor means also being called from? A lot of people think about, oh, I'm called to. Well, you're also called from. There are some sacrifices. There are things that are no longer going to be a part of your life. And you're called from a career choice. You've got a career. And in my opinion, it's a lifelong career. And so, you know, one thing different about us, we feel called to the church and called by God. And we're not in the military where we get to move around every 4 years or do whatever. And senior pastors like mom and daddy of the congregation. And they're here forever to see your forever good. And so career choice. I had headhunters at times. I'd get mail from headhunters because they were looking for a leader to help in an organization or do this. I never read those things, and I did it intentionally. They could become a temptation. Once I saw the intention, why would I read that? And I've trashed those things. But they look for people that can build. And so we're called from a career choice. We're also called away from favoritism. You look at people as precious, every person, no matter how obnoxious they are, unpleasant to be around, maybe not the one you'd have dinner with, but they're God's, and they're valuable. And just on the side, people are like they are because they are what they are, and they need something. And so you're called away from favoritism. You're also called away from a 9-to-5 weekday job. When I was in high school, I worked in a grocery store Friday nights, Saturday nights, and my friends would be coming in, picking up stuff, headed out to the party. And I'm working. I decided right then, I'm getting me a weekday job. That worked well for 10 years. And so you're called away from weekends off. And we're called away from a lot of other things. But, you know, if you think about it, Abraham left his homeland. He was called from his homeland. Moses left Egypt and the riches that he could have had in that palace. He made a bigger choice. Paul left a life of power. Paul had the pedigree, education. Paul had everything. He was sharp. And there's a great lesson in Paul. People that have pedigree educations at the top of, God might decide that you need to be in the ministry. And so you can forget that huge salary that pedigree could bring and You do what God wants. That's what Paul did. And so Paul walked away from power and from prestige and became a preacher who was hated to the point and imprisoned and everything else. Went through snake bite, shipwreck, all these things. Welcome to the ministry. But people, you know, people pray to be led to the right church. Really, people should pray to be led to the right pastor. Churches can decorate. Churches can cater to our sensitivities, to our tastes, to our styles, all of those things. But a good senior pastor will cater to your soul. A good senior pastor will love you when you're unlovable. A good senior pastor will speak to you at the risk of losing you to help you stay on the straight way. But, you know, churches are many, pastors are few. We could lose probably half the churches in America and not lose anything if we could move those people into other buildings that had called and gifted pastors. And there are a lot of good people that are trying to pastor that are not called and gifted to that. And it doesn't take long for me to be able to sort that out. I have a dear friend that did that, and I supported him, loved him until he got that realization. And so they're not necessarily bad people. They just got to find out where they're headed. But let me just give you three major points. I mean, there you could list 100 responsibilities for senior pastor. Here are the three big ones. Number one, senior pastor is called to anchor the church to God's word exclusively. Hundreds of people in and out from different backgrounds. I mean, these days, when we started this church 31 years ago, you had some Christian radio, a little bit of Christian TV, nothing else. Now the airways are full. Social media is full. People are being taught, well, you can go to church on the internet. People are being taught by 3, 4, 9, you know, however many people they want to listen to, podcasts and everything else. But those people aren't pastoring them. Those people are not going to sit and hold their hand. Those people are not going to meet them at the hospital. Those people aren't going to be there for the funeral. And those people are not involved. And so we need to understand, we've got to be anchored to the word. And you get that in your home church. And so 2 Timothy 2 verse 9 says, and this is the Apostle Paul. He says, he's in prison at this time. He says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like an animal or a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. And senior pastor's role is to absolutely keep the church on the word, no matter what it costs. See, some people start to weigh things. You can't weigh anything against the word. The word has to stand. Whatever the price, we'll pay it. And that's why we're here today. A lot that wouldn't do that, the churches are gone. Pastors must be immovable. Winds of doctrine, trends, theories, fads, shifts, popularity, all of these things come and go. But you remember the song, classic hymn, Christ, on Christ the solid rock I stand? And the next line says, all other ground is sinking sand. We have to stay solidly on the word, and that's the pastor's first task. Number two, senior pastor's task is to administrate the church's spirit. To administrate the church's spirit. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, talking to the Christians, he says in verse 3, clearly you are a letter. He's talking about the people. And honestly, you are a letter to the pastors of this church. You are a letter now to Chad and Julie. And how you go from here is a letter about their ministry. And he says, clearly you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with ink, with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tables of stone, but on human hearts. And then in verse 6, he says, God has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not written, not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. And so the Spirit of the church needs to be gracious. The Spirit of the church needs to be life-giving. You know, there are people that come in and from all walks of life, no telling what they've been through, everything from split homes to career losses to you name it. And these people are in desperate situations and they're looking for help, not criticism. And the church needs to be a place that is gracious, loving, and inviting. and that helps people start where they are and get life. And so the church has got to be gracious and life-giving. The third thing is the senior pastors to be the architect of churches, of the church's advancement. They're responsible for the vision, the mission of the church, the strategy. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit had been poured out, the new covenant church is getting ready to start. Acts 2, verse 42, all those people that had received Christ, had listened to his word, taken the message and become believers, it says they devoted themselves. Senior pastors are about getting people devoted to advancing the kingdom, not devoted to a certain chair, and don't anybody else take it on Sunday morning, but devoted to the kingdom. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so senior pastors are builders. They're builders of individuals, of teams, and of movements. Individuals, they build individuals, and then those individuals build others. They build teams. Built people become team players. In this church, team, T-E-A-M, stands for together, elevating, and multiplying. And that's what moves the church forward. And then movements are the rewards of well-built teams. The Bible tells us how to appreciate our senior pastors. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard." Believe me, they work hard. "They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other." And it's great that he put "live peacefully with each other." The more peaceful you can live, the easier it is for the senior pastor to focus on moving forward instead of refereeing arguments and disputes. And there are going to always be arguments and disputes. But it's interesting that Paul said, "and live peaceably with each other." So we want to honor them. We want to show them great respect. And we want to show them wholehearted love. And so Christ gave Chad and Julie to Metro Church for his purposes. And their responsibilities are serious, they're broad, and they're deep. And they deserve our membership. Get committed. Get committed. Be part. Shake the hand. Determine we're together. We're walking together. We're comrades together. We're doing this together, because one day we will stand before the Lord. Every one of us will stand before the Lord. And he called us to do more than believe. He called us to belong. The church is Christ's idea. And every person going to heaven will be part of a local church, I believe. I don't believe you can ignore Christ's church and see that work in the Bible. So we want to be committed in membership, and we want to honor them, and we want to pray for them. Let's give them a hand right now. God bless you. Now I want to take just a moment. Maybe you're sitting here, maybe this is your first time here, and you're like, "What did I walk into?" Well, you walked into a good thing, and God loves you. And you're not here just by chance or because somebody else asked you to come. But God's working in your life like he has in all of us. And we all walk the same trail. But I want to take a moment. I want to lead us in a prayer. And I want to ask you, are you Christ? Have you given your life back to him? He gave your life. It's a gift to you. What you do with it can be your gift to him. And so in just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You don't have to get up and move. You don't have to do anything. But I want to give every person an opportunity. If you haven't made Christ your Lord, now's the moment. There'll never be a better moment. You may get another moment, but there'll never be a better one. And maybe you started off with Christ, but you haven't been following him like you feel like that you should. Would you just bow your heads?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.